Episode 207, How to Build and Sustain a Thriving Volunteer Ministry with Christine Crescher. Part 1. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome to the Making Sunday Happen podcast. This is the definitive podcast for those who plan, create, and execute worship experiences at churches all over the world. If you haven't jumped into our Making Sunday Happen Facebook group, I want to encourage you to do so. Just go to facebook.com/Making Sunday Happen. Nearly 2,000 people in that community right now. The group is dedicated to those people on a church staff or volunteers who are involved in the worship experience every single week. That's first impressions and guest services people, media and production teams, worship teams, teaching pastors, and more. You can join the family today at facebook.com/Making Sunday Happen. This week's podcast is sponsored by our friends at Media Shout. In a worship experience, there are only three presentation software that I really recommend. One is Media Shout, two is ProPresenter, three is Easy Worship. And Aaron West and my friends over at Media Shout let me take a sneak peek at Media Shout 7 when they were building the software, and it's really got some fantastic features embedded in the software just for you, especially for media teams and pastors, just to make your life much, much easier. Great, great features in the new Media Shout 7, so be sure to check that out. And if you're in the market for media presentation software, be sure to check out Media Shout. Here's a little bit more about some updates in the new Media Shout 7 software that I was telling you about. Check this out.
We've listened to church staff and volunteers just like you, and we've responded with our most comprehensive and customizable version yet. It's stable, it's powerful, and it's easy to use. You'll find intuitive tools like Sermon Builder, customizable plugins, and a refined slide editor, all backed by our amazing customer support made of pastors, techs, and volunteers available when you need them. It's everything you need to create powerful presentations while saving you time. Introducing Media Shout 7.
Unless for some reason you have a massive budget to afford a full media team, chances are you are using volunteers in your worship experience. Even the largest churches in America and around the world use volunteers for everything involved in the worship experience, from guest services and greeters to media and production, all kinds of stuff they're using volunteers. So today on the show, we are going to be showing you another full unedited workshop from Salt 18. This week, we're going to be showing you Christine Crescher's talk on how to build and sustain a thriving volunteer ministry at your church. This week and next week, through Christine's workshop, you'll learn how to recruit volunteers in a way that almost guarantees a yes every time from them. You'll learn new ways to appreciate your volunteers. You'll identify the keys to a great volunteer culture. You'll learn how to get your volunteers to recruit other volunteers and more. So here is part one of Christine Crescher from Salt 18.
It's great to see all of you, and it's good to be here at Salt. I love being a part of Salt. When Luke reached out and asked me to be a part of it again this year, I was really excited to come back and be with all of you and to talk about this topic of volunteerism. So how many of you have it all figured out with volunteers? Okay, good. Wait, yeah, okay, get on up here. No, come on. I want you to teach today. No, I'm kidding, but since I picked on you a little bit, I saved my Chick-fil-A cookie. It's like, you. I can eat this or I can bless somebody. So, there you go. So, I am super excited to be here. If you're in this room, you're here because you're looking for a little bit of a maybe facelift or makeover. In your volunteer ministry, right, in your culture. And so it's something that I love talking about. I'm very, very passionate about. By the way, my name is Christine Kreischer, and I am the Executive Director of Ministries at a church in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour and a half north of Philadelphia. You know where Reading is? Awesome. Get out. Okay, awesome. Most people, I say Reading, and they go, "You mean California?" No, actually, I do really actually mean Pennsylvania. And I have been on staff at my church for 10 years, but before that, I was a volunteer for 10 years, and so leading other volunteers. And so I totally, totally get why you're in this room. And I don't have all of the answers, but I do believe that I found some secret. We call this secret sauce, right? I found some secrets that I want to share with you today. A lot of times when I think about kind of this whole idea of your volunteer culture, and you're here because I think you probably want to create a sticky culture. Would that be pretty true? Like an irresistible, sticky culture? Yeah. So there's a lot of things that go into creating an irresistible, sticky culture. And so there's things that I've learned from making tons of mistakes over the years. And then there's things that I have learned from actually getting a few things right, trying a few things, getting a few things right. And then there's some things that I've learned from my friend Darren Kaiser. And he did his thesis for his PhD on volunteer retention and did years and years of research and uncovered a lot of really, really good stuff that I want to share with you today. We spent about 2 years writing a book called Stop Recruiting and Start Retaining, and it's in the store out there today. And I say that to you not to sell a book, because if you know, if you've written a book or you know anything about writing books, you don't make money on books. And so if you can't afford the book, I will give one to you. Like, it's not about that. It's just there's so many things that are practical and tips that we can't possibly cover in 1 hour. And so I'll say that right off the bat. But when I think about volunteer culture, I think about a makeover. Any of you watch Chip and JoJo? Right? You love those house flipping shows? Okay, so before that was cool, before there were shows about flipping houses, my husband and I did that. And so there's some foundational things when you're flipping a house or when you're doing a makeover on a property. And I'm going to kind of walk you through those things. So the first thing you do when you go and you look at a property is you assess the property, right? You look at it and you decide, is it even worth doing anything to? Are the bones good? Are the mechanicals good? You look at the situation and you decide, what is your current reality? And so when you're looking to do a makeover in your volunteer culture, it's really good for you to also assess and to start with your current reality. And so think about that for a minute, will you? Do you all have a pen and a paper? Okay, go ahead and get a pen and paper out. And then what I'd like you to do is assess your volunteer culture. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to rate, 1 being really not so good. So glad you're here, right? And then a 10 being you're knocking it out of the park. It's amazing. It's incredible. Go ahead and give yourself a number. The funny thing with this is, it's interesting when you actually give your volunteers a voice, you think you know, right? Until you ask. And I love John Acuff. Years ago, he said, read less minds, ask more questions. And I was like, oh, that's so good. But sometimes we don't ask the hard questions because we are afraid of the answer. But sometimes the answers, secrets lie in the answers, because it helps us to see where are we? Kind of, where do we need to put some intentionality and where do we need to grow? And so starting with assessing your culture. So you all have your number? Okay, tell the person next to you. Just kidding, don't do that. You've got your number. So the first part is current reality, assessing that. And then the next part is thinking about your preferred future, right? Imagining the future, or like dreaming the impossible. And so what does it look like? What is a 10? What is a 10? So when I walk into a property and I look at the property, I think, oh, what could we do to this property to make it irresistible, to make it stand out amongst every other house on this block or in this neighborhood? What is it gonna take? What is it gonna look like? And I begin to dream and imagine the possibilities if we took down this wall and if we painted this and we did. And so what's the preferred reality for you with your volunteer culture? And so this is where the interaction comes in. Talk to me, what does a 10 look like? When you think about a sticky volunteer culture, go ahead. Who's common vision? So everybody's on board, sharing the same vision. Awesome. What else? Yes. commitment. So your volunteers are committed, right? They're not renters, they're owners. This is my ministry. Love that. What else? Did you say they're early? Clarity. Does that mean that volunteers have clarity? Okay. Awesome. Okay. What else? Volunteers come early? That was a good one. I thought that's what you said. I was like, yes, wouldn't that be nice, right? What did you say? Multiplying. So more and more volunteers are coming, right? And I'm part of the ministry. Awesome. Yes. And volunteer-led. Yes. When you can step away and let your volunteers lead, you know you have a thriving volunteer culture. And that's what we're talking about today, right? Because we can very easily be stuck in the status quo. We can very easily be stuck in the mindset, and we're going to talk about mindsets in just a couple of minutes, but in the mindset of, I just need a warm body. I mean, for God's sake, please just give me some warm bodies, right? And because you're in survival mode, and I get that. I've been there, and that's a hard, hard place to be. So we'll talk about that. That's great. What else? They join. So volunteers actually volunteer, right? We're going to talk about that in just a second. Because it's crazy. I said to my son last night, I said, so what is a volunteer? And he was like, Mom, is this a trick question? Because you're teaching a breakout tomorrow. And I said, no, just what is a volunteer? And he said, it's somebody that does, kind of like slavery is what he said. I was like, that's great. great. He said, no, it's actually somebody that does something without getting paid, plain and simple. And I thought, right, so why do we think volunteers are going to volunteer? But they might if they see something really, really attractive, if they experience something that is thriving. Yes. Volunteers feel valued. Yes. You know you have a thriving culture. That's a 10 when your volunteers really, really do feel like they're valued. Anything else? Any big things that we're missing? Did you have your hand up? Fun. Who said fun? I love Sojo because it was like, oh, he set this up perfect. Yes. They want to have fun. Volunteers already have a job. They don't want another one. And there's so much competition for volunteers' time. The church isn't the only place, right? It's not the only option to give yourself to. Something worthy to give yourself to. There's plenty of other options. And so how can we make it fun? I love that. Who said that? What's your name? Kimberly? Kimberly, I want to give you a book. See, give cookies away. Now I'll give a book away. Here you go. And there's something magical about this row, clearly. All right. And then the next part. So you look at your preferred future. You look at the current reality. Look at your preferred future. And then when I go into a house, I say, all right, now what's it going to take? And then we start working on a scope of work, and we start working with contractors, and we start really kind of developing the strategy and the plan and the reverse timeline. When do we want to put this house on the market? When do we want to get there? What are we going to do to get there? And we start working backwards from there. And so that's something that we're going to talk about today too, is a strategy. How do you create now a thriving volunteer culture? And so we're going to start with some foundational things, though, because that's actually the very, very, very first thing. You look at the foundation, right? Because if the foundation is a mess, the whole thing will just crumble, right? And so there's four mindsets. We call it the four before. Four mindsets that really start to inform a thriving volunteer culture. If you don't have these foundational things, no matter how good your strategy is, it's not going to work. Because I can give you an abundance of volunteers right now. If I did that, if I were to say to you, I've got 10, 20 rock star volunteers. I don't know how many volunteers you currently need. Would they stick? Is your volunteer culture so irresistible that they would actually stick? So you can see that it's not necessarily the number of volunteers. So let's talk about these. The first one is excellence, okay? I love to say excellence. So many times we think of excellence and some people think, well, I'm not from a big church. I don't have all the bells and whistles. I don't have the big production. I don't have the lighting. I don't have all of these things that some other churches do. And especially when you come to a conference like this, you can very easily start to get into some kind of a comparison trap, right? And feel defeated. But excellence is actually doing the best you can with what you have. doing the best you can with what you have. Sojo talked about that too. It's not settling for status quo. It's not saying, well, it's good enough. It's good enough. Because God gave us his best. So why would we give him anything less? So shift that mindset. Maybe you don't have that mindset. So I'm just challenging you today to think of a couple of these things. And so what's your mindset? Excellence attracts especially high capacity leaders. They notice the details. Everybody wants to be a part of a winning team. So we have to have a mindset of excellence. And then mission. Mission inspires. Somebody said volunteers on the same page and understanding why they're there. They have clarity. Why have you asked them to do what you've asked them to do? And that really starts with us as ministry leaders. Are you clear on why you're doing what you're doing? And sometimes that for us means that we need to return to our first love. We need to remember why. And sometimes, if you were here last night, you heard Luke talk about being. God wants us to be before we do, right? So that ministry then is an overflow from the time that we spend with Jesus. So mission inspires. A mission is, we need to have a mission that is valuable and worth giving something up for. And then appreciation. Appreciation, there's a very big, somebody said when volunteers feel valued. Here's what I think we end up doing because we're busy. We end up saying, doing the quick, like, hey, you're awesome. Wow, good job. Pat on the back, attaboy. Here's a $5 gift card to Starbucks. And maybe they don't even like Starbucks. Maybe they don't even like coffee, right? We begin to, when we're busy, we tend to fall into the mindset of like, okay, so what's the cheapest and what's the quickest and most mailable thing that we can send to our volunteers to make them feel appreciated, right? Because we're busy. But if you want to create a thriving volunteer culture, you will move from simply flattery to true praise and recognition when you are specific in your praise. So not just, hey, you're awesome, but hey, I noticed these details. I noticed and tell them the specific things, and that takes time. I'm working on this myself right now because I am such an encourager. Like, it's just natural for me to be like, hey, you're awesome, I love you. Like, it's so great that you're a part of the team. But now I'm starting to say, wait, I gotta pull that back because it doesn't feel genuine sometimes. It doesn't feel genuine a lot of times. And so be specific in your praise and then look for opportunities to figure out how people are wired, what makes them tick, and what makes them feel really appreciated. If you go to our website is stoprecruiting.com, there's tons of free, customizable, downloadable resources. And one of those things on there is called What Floats Your Boat. And you can customize that, create the questions. I tweak them all the time. But it asks your you give them to all of your volunteers, all of our staff members fill them out, all of our volunteers fill them out. And it asks them simple questions like, what is your favorite drink at Starbucks? What's your favorite donut? What's your favorite color? It asks them, if you got a $20 gift card, if someone gave you a $20 gift card to anywhere, like any store, what store would that be? It asks them, if you had a day to yourself, what would you do? So it helps us to get to know them, right? And then we tuck those things away. What's your favorite candy bar is another one, right? Tuck those things away. And then when a volunteer goes above and beyond, I'll pull that out. And I'll look, oh, their favorite candy bar is a whatchamacallit. So when I'm at the store and I pick up a whatchamacallit and I write them a handwritten note and specifically say how much I appreciate them and why, and then I give them that whatchamacallit, they go, oh my goodness, how did you know that a whatchamacallit was my favorite candy bar? They forget that they told you 6 months ago, right? It's awesome because then you can really begin to appreciate them in ways that really resonate with who they are. And simply ask them the question, here's a powerful question. Why do you volunteer? It's a question to ask yourself. Why do you either volunteer or why do you work? That's a real quick way to discern somebody's motivation because very few people are motivated by money and gifts. So ask them, what makes you feel appreciated? And then listen and pull that out and make sure that you are that you're utilizing those things. And then somebody mentioned when you have a thriving volunteer culture, you have volunteers who are leading, right? Because some of you may be thinking, how am I supposed to keep track of all of my volunteers? How am I supposed to remember what they all of their what floats your boat items? You're not, because you're not Superman. You're not Wonder Woman, right? So we need to build teams where we have coaches. So we have one coach overseeing just about every 10 volunteers. And every ministry area is a little bit different than that. But then that coach knows that part of their job is to celebrate their volunteers, their 10 volunteers. It's to train them, to make sure they're supported and have everything that they need. And it's to really know them and to connect with them. And so be specific in your praise. And then invitation is the fourth thing. And that, okay, this is the thing that I'm really, 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 really passionate about. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you now why I am so passionate about being here at SALT and looking out at all of you who are part of the creative arts in your church. I'm here over the next couple of days with my son, who is 19 years old, who grew up in church. I did not, far from it, actually. And he grew up in an environment that appreciated the arts. And he grew up with a mom who loved to put on productions for families. And he was a part of those. And somebody called out different giftings in him and allowed him to be a part of the arts in our church and encouraged him to learn how to play instruments. And then my son, who's a year older than him, same thing, somebody, because he was very much a behind the scenes person. And so somebody said, hey, Jordan, why don't you come back by the soundboard? Why don't you help us with media? And he knew nothing. But somebody like you spoke into his life and invited him into a bigger story. Jordan is now in Vancouver at film school, and he is going to make films, and he's going to advocate for people that don't have a voice. And Jimmy's with me this week, my 19-year-old son, because he visited Blackbird Academy today, and we're going to Belmont tomorrow to look at some schools because he loved being a part of the arts in our church, and God began to do a work in him. And that's why I love all of you, and I love what you do, because you are impacting the next generation, because you're inviting people into a bigger story. I think that one of the things that really holds us back from having a thriving volunteer culture is our mindset when it comes to invitation. Because we actually think that we're asking somebody for something. And we make assumptions of people. You're too busy. Or we make assumptions that say, because that's a positive, right? We fill the gap with something positive. But sometimes we say, since you didn't volunteer, you must not care. Or you're lazy. And then we begin to be cynical. And instead, maybe somebody is just waiting for you to tap them on the shoulder and say, I notice this about you, and I think you would be awesome. And I'm expanding my team. Never, ever, ever say, I need volunteers. I am expanding my team, and I think you would be an amazing part of it. Come and check it out with me. Always recruit to a vision, never to a need, no matter how bad you need. Right? You got to keep that vision in the forefront of their minds. It's not what you want from them. It's what you want for them. And when you have that mindset, it really does change everything. When you remember what your volunteer experience did for you, you probably would not be in this room if it wasn't for somebody inviting you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And every human being, I believe this with all of my heart, that God places inside of every human being the desire to partner with him, the desire to do something so meaningful and so significant and so much bigger than themselves. And so what are you waiting for? And the more specific you are in your invitation, because when people are confused, they say no, right? Especially in your world. because people feel stupid, right? I don't know how to do that. That's a lot of stuff back there. There's a lot of buttons, and it feels very, very overwhelming. But when you are really, really specific, and you come alongside of somebody and you say, I know you can do this, and I will be here for you, and I will coach you, and you will learn some really cool stuff, that's very, very different. And then you coach up your volunteers. You give them that same language. The more specific you are in the invitation, the more clear you are in your ask, do you have a written job description for every role? That's a really good question. Do you have a list of expectations? Time, when should they arrive, and when? How long should they plan to stay? What's the win? At the top of every one of our job descriptions, our ministry descriptions for volunteers, we have a win statement. This is what it looks like for you to succeed in this area, and here's how we're gonna help. And it just lists all those things out. Again, the more clarity volunteers have, the better. And we want, I think sometimes it's really, really important because we think the magic is if the lead pastor, the communicator gets up and just says, hey, everybody, we need volunteers in the media department, or we need volunteers, right? Like, why doesn't the lead pastor just do that more? All the research in the world says it doesn't work. It may initially work. Somebody kind of step out and say, all right, out of duty and obligation, I feel bad, and so therefore I should, and they go, and it's an emotional response, and they don't stick. I shouldn't say they never stick, but it's very, very rare. But the personal shoulder tap works so, so much better.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
All right, this week on the show, we're going to start a brand new mailbag segment where we take your questions from Facebook, from social media, from email, and answer those questions right here on the show. I've done several of these on Facebook, and they've blown up. Lots and lots of questions and comments. So we're going to take some of the content from those posts and share it here on the podcast. And going forward, if you have a question about how to transform your worship experience, that's in the areas of first impressions, guest services, media and production, worship, teaching, communications, anything having to do with the worship experience, you can email your question directly to me at Carl, C-A-R-L, at 1230.media. That's Carl at 1230.media. Or you can post it in our Making Sunday Happen Facebook group. Just tag it with the hashtag MSH Mailbag. That's MSH Mailbag. And we will see that, and maybe your question will be on the show. So again, hashtag MSH, Making Sunday Happen Mailbag. Hashtag MSH Mailbag. And we'll see that, and your question might be on the air. All right, so here we go. Our first mailbag segment. Let's roll it. All right, so this episode with Christine is all about how to build and sustain a thriving volunteer ministry. So I have a couple of volunteer questions from you guys. Number one is from Ben Garrod on Facebook. He asks, what's the biggest mistake churches make with volunteers? All right, so here's my answer. The first thing that I would say is burning them out. Remember, with volunteers, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So if you're involved at all with scheduling your volunteers, here's my suggestion to you. Do not schedule them every single Sunday. I know that sometimes people can get in routine, oh, I always serve at the 9 o'clock service. I want to break that mold. And this has worked for two different churches that I've worked on staff at. Once every 2 to 3 weeks, once every 3 weeks is really the sweet spot. But if you need to push people to every 2 weeks, and then as you grow your team, you can put people at every 3 weeks, that's fine too. But every 3 weeks is kind of the sweet spot on when to serve. Well, why can't I serve every Sunday? Well, a couple of reasons. One, you're stealing opportunities away from other people who want to serve. And two, you need to be in worship with your family. So be sure to go and do that. So burning them out is number one. So that's the number one mistake that I think that churches have when it comes to their volunteers, is having them serve every single Sunday, and then they just fry out, and then you have to start the process all over again. Okay, so burning them out. The second way I would answer this is, the second biggest mistake that churches make with volunteers is not having a clear on-ramp for new volunteers. So when I was at New Spring Church, when we really drilled into how volunteers are coming into our ministry, it really changed the game. And it really allowed our volunteer numbers to go way up because we were super intentional about how they went from interest in serving on our team to being on our team, observing, training, and then getting involved on the schedule. So we started doubling and tripling our numbers, our volunteer numbers at New Spring when we were super intentional about how they came onto our team and were trained. Okay, so again, the biggest mistakes that churches make with volunteers, burning them out and not having a clear on-ramp. Okay? Question number two from our mailbag comes from Jeremy Davis on Facebook. He asked, what are some of the ways that you care or show appreciation towards your volunteers? This is a great question. I've talked about this quite a bit on our blog and the podcast over the last couple of years. I believe that pastoring our volunteers should be number one when it comes to our team. You can go all the way back to episode number 4 of the podcast, and this is episode number 207. So if you go all the way back to episode number 4 of the podcast, I flesh out fully some ideas on how to win the hearts of your volunteers, okay? So here are just a few of the things that I talked about in that episode. One is give out compliments that you mean, genuine compliments. So encourage people a lot. Your words matter. So encourage 3 times more than you critique, okay? Let them know that they're appreciated by your words. So encourage 3 times more than you critique. Another way that you can show appreciation to your volunteers is to attend events in the life of your team members. So if there's a baby born, if there's a funeral, somebody's family member passed away, nothing shows you care more than being there and being present at times that are dear to your volunteers. They'll remember that. I would go even so far as to, if you have teenagers that volunteer on your team, go to their baseball games, football games, soccer games, go to their dance recitals or different things like that. Just show up, be there when they're going through these things and having certain events in their life. Being there will matter. The last idea I have for you today to show your volunteers that you care and appreciate them is to listen more than you speak. And I am certainly guilty of not doing this, but it's so true. Listening is a form of caring. So slow yourself down, lock eyes, nod, do things that show that you're listening with your whole body, not just your speech. So you've been involved with talking to people and you're trying to share with them and they're like, yeah, I got to go do this thing. I'm kind of halfway listening to you, but you know, I got to go do this thing. So don't do that. Let's stop. Let's sit down. Let's listen. So give out compliments, encourage 3 times more than you critique. If attend events in the life of their, in the life of your volunteers, and listen more than you speak. These are just 3 of the ideas that I fleshed out in that podcast episode. You can go to makingsundayhappen.com. You can navigate to episode number 4 and check out that episode. We also have a lot on our blog in the volunteer culture category. Also wrote an ebook on how to pastor your volunteers first, how to win the hearts of your volunteers. So you can check out those resources for more, but those are just a couple. All right, I'll take a couple more questions on volunteers next week on the show. And again, if you want your question answered, you can email me directly at carl at Media, or post the question in our Making Sunday Happen Facebook group with the hashtag MSH Mailbag, Making Sunday Happen MSH Mailbag. And guys, I have not arrived. It's not like I'm a super expert on this stuff. I've just been around and just used some strategies at different places that's worked, and I'm just sharing it with you to see if it works in your context. So I'm on the journey with you. All right, we'll wrap up Christine's workshop next week on the show. And if you're after some more resources for your volunteers, let me quickly tell you about a book that I wrote specifically for media production teams, but it can be used in any volunteer setting. It's called The Ultimate Production Team Handbook. And this book is loaded with training guides and scheduling templates, position checklists, and more that you can take and adapt to your own media production team or any volunteer team at your church. To pick up the book, rather, you can go to 1230.media/handbook, 1230.media/handbook, and if you use the code 10handbook, all one word, 10handbook, you can take $5 off the book for you and your team. So that makes the book 10 bucks. It's usually 15, so put that code in, save yourself $5. Again, 10handbook is the code to get that. All right, next week we're wrapping up Christine's workshop on building and sustaining a thriving volunteer ministry at your church. And in 2 weeks, I'll welcome an incredible lighting coordinator to the podcast. Andy Rushing will be on the show. Andy has been the lighting director for Grammy Award-winning artist Lauren Daigle, as well as Carrie Job. He also serves on the team at The Belonging in Nashville. I'll talk with Andy via Skype for a few minutes, and then we'll show you his SALT 18 workshop on lighting for the camera lens. So lighting in a way that the camera picks it up really nicely. So if you're a lighting person at your church, Andy is the guy to learn from. That's in 2 weeks on the show. You can check out the show notes page for this episode of the podcast. Just visit MakingSundayHappen.com. All the show notes are there for this episode and every episode of the podcast, MakingSundayHappen.com. This is episode 207 if you want to see the show notes for this episode. Well, thank you guys for listening and watching this week. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.